Well, good morning and welcome to worship here at Greystone Baptist Church. As always, it is good to be in this place. The presence of all in this place enhances the worship of all in this space. A couple things for your attention as we get started. First, I'd like to call your attention to the friendship pads that are seated in the pews. I do invite you to take those and to pass them down the row. I hope this gives you a chance to become a little bit more familiar with some of those whom are worshiping around you this morning. You'll also probably notice in those pads a connection card, and we do invite you to complete this to the level of your own comfort. So if you are a guest with us, or if there is something that you would like to share with us as a church staff, we do invite you to complete this card and turn it into the offering plate when it comes by later in the service. We are blessed this morning to have one of our own, Dr. Doug Cole, proclaiming to us. Many of you obviously know Dr. Cole, a founding member of this church, and recently retired from years of work with the State Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. So Dr. Cole, we're glad to have you. Thank you for being here with us. And as we begin our service of worship this morning, I want to begin by reading a couple of verses from Psalm 66 as we prepare our own hearts to sing in praise to God. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Now let us stand together as we sing praises to the holy name of God.
Rejoice, morning. I am so glad to see you here this morning. I know a lot of you start a new school year tomorrow, and some of you already started a new school year a few days or a few weeks ago. And going back to school is a really important and special time. And I know at school you will have lots of books. You will have books that you learn from and books that you read for fun. And this morning, our church wants to give some of our kids their own very special book, the most important book that you will ever get, and the most special book that you will ever have. It is a Bible, your very own Bible. And these Bibles actually have stickers in the back. They're not stickers to stick all over the house or the pew or anywhere. They're special stickers that mean certain things that you can put in your Bible that says, hey, I memorized that verse, or hey, I learned about this, or I don't know if I understand that yet. I think I have some more questions. So today we want to give Bibles to our kindergartners. So Miss Ivy Lynn, there you go. And Everett, there you go. It's going to take both hands. They're really heavy. And I believe this one is going to be Elise. There you go. And Miss Julie. And we also want to give Bibles to our sixth graders.
So, Brianna, and Chandler, and Will, as you guys, as you enter the youth group, we're looking forward to all the different ways that we'll continue to study the Bible together. So it's a new copy of the Bible, an NRSV student edition that we use, that I hope you'll bring to a lot of our youth group activities. As you continue to underline and read and grow closer to God, as we also grow closer together as a youth group family.
You all have already been leaders to our younger children, and you are going to be the leaders that our littlest ones look up to. As you grow in the youth group, they are going to look up to you and want to be like you. And I hope that you will use your Bible to be a guide, to be the kind of person that our children will look up to. In just a few minutes after you've gone back to your seats, we're going to say a special prayer for you and for your teachers. And then at the end of the service, we want to invite all of you, plus any other students and teachers forward, for a special blessing. So you can go back to your Please join me in prayer. As the new school year begins, we pray for students of all ages. Guide them and direct them in the classroom, in the hallway, in the cafeteria, and on the sports field. May they have the wisdom and the courage to be your hands and your feet to all whom they encounter. We pray for teachers, administrators, janitors, cafeteria workers, coaches, and all who have the chance to smile at a child. Give them patience to deal with all of the meetings and the paperwork, endurance to deal with the long days. Give them an extra portion of hope and love so that they might have an unending supply to share with their students. We pray for school boards, for educational leaders, for politicians, those who make decisions regarding our schools. Guide them, direct them, and help them to be ever mindful of the teachers and the children whom their decisions affect. We pray for the parents of our students, for parents whose children are living in a dorm or an apartment this school year, or for those who are dropping their little ones off for the very first day of school, and everyone in between. We pray for wisdom as they offer advice and courage to know when to let their children figure it out on their own. Guide them as they interact with all who are involved in their children's education. May their words and their actions always reflect your light. For children all around the world who are not able to attend school because they are not the right gender, they can't afford the school uniform, or because they have to gather the day's supply of water and firewood for their family. For those who gather in secret schoolrooms because gaining an education in the open puts their lives in danger. For those who have to fight for their right to a full education because they have special needs. We pray that all children have access to education as they are all your children. We pray that all children are loved by a teacher and greeted by a friend. You, O Lord, are our greatest teacher. May we lean on the lessons that you have taught us. May we be guided by your words, and may our actions reflect your own. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Even as we continue in a spirit of prayer, we want to sing our prayer. Speak, O Lord. May we be hearers of what the Spirit is trying to say. Let's stand.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Giver, sustainer, and redeemer, by grace you became a servant to us all, to the least among us as well as the greatest among us. Through your grace, teach us to become this kind of servant. Use these offerings today, our minds, our bodies, possessions, prayers, and lives, to serve throughout your beloved creation. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Hear these words from the book of Romans, chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
The voices are starting earlier and earlier. Your phone rings, and it's your good friend Walt from the shipping department wanting to make sure the address is correct before he ships your order, which, of course, you didn't order. Or it's Connie from the credit union services. Now, your credit rating is fine. However, there are things that you need to discuss. Well, the one we got the other night, this is Microsoft support. And it's quite possible that the computers in your house are in danger of being destroyed because of a virus. Here is a number you may call and talk to our technicians. They're all robocalls. We know that. We get them more and more. A sophisticate once said that these messages are oral mosquitoes. That's as good a description as any. But this is the kind of thing that the Apostle Paul was writing to help dispel, not robocalls, to the Christians in Rome. They were confused about a lot of things. To begin with, there was idolatry, there was emperor worship. There were many different versions or variations on the theme of Christianity. Some wanted power, some wanted other things, some wanted money. And so they appealed to Paul, help us sort this thing out. Confusion was the order of the day. Someone has suggested that the ultimate in confusion is a termite living in a yo-yo. Think about it. You ever feel that way? Paul, in responding to the query from the Christians in Rome, said, essentially, get a grip. Do not let your minds be conformed to the things of this world, but rather conformed to what you already know from the teachings of Jesus. Do not be conformed. Be renewed by remembering whose you are and what you've been taught. We have the need for discernment just as well. In some versions of the text, discernment is called a spiritual gift. But it is that which we use to separate our understanding of what is the will of God from the will of other people, or from the clamor or the cacophony of all the voices that surround us day by day. We need to be able to discern. It can be said quite confidently that God wants us to be wise and not naive or arrogant, but to understand what it is that we are about as his children. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Use reason, think, understand what I have told you. Do not harm others. But use your powers of reason to discern, separate what I've been teaching you from what others may say. Wisdom is hard to come by sometimes. But to do it, we have to exercise these powers of reason. All around us are people who would take advantage. Not too long ago, we had an eclipse. Remember that? At least three evangelists took to the airways to warn their followers. One said the darkening of the sun was a direct result of satanic power, the darkness of Satan overcoming the light of God. Another, his voice a quiver, said the end times are here. Because the darkening of the sun means that Jesus is closing out the age. He also happened to sell survivalist materials, including freeze-dried fruit, food, and for $350 you could get a year's supply. Often wondered if the end times are here, why would you need that? Discernment was not a gift. And then another one of the old standbys in televangelism said, no, the darkening of the sun is the judgment of God upon us as a nation, because President Obama supported gay rights. He refuses to let that go. Any of this true? Of course not. What is true? We know that our God created a vast universe. Go back to Genesis and begin to read and understand that God separated the firmament from the earth, and all of these celestial wonders were placed in order. And they move with a precision that delights the eye and astounds the mind. Thanks to the beautiful science of mathematics, we understand that these orbits move with a regularity and a precision that reminds us of how almighty our God is. Eclipses, they happen all the time. The ratio of the distance of the moon, the size of the moon and its distance from the sun, the same ratio as it applies to the earth, means that with regularity, that moon, the disk of the moon, blots out the sun. We know that. Further evidence of the wonder of God's power. I'm told that just about once every year or year or so, a total eclipse somewhere around the world, we don't see it because it doesn't happen here. But a total eclipse is coming, and Raleigh is going to be right smack in the middle of the path of totality in a few years. You don't have to drive away off to the mountains or to the coast. Just wait. It'll be here. All of that is a wonder to behold, is it not? But you know what's more powerful and what's more astonishing than that? That is that the God who put all of this together and, in the words of the poet, flung it into space, had rather love you and have you love him than anything else. The God who created all of this also, through the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, has offered us not only grace, but abundant life, and given us the riches of personhood that expand as we continue to understand and to apply his truth. Isn't that a miracle? That is the power of it all. Discernment also means that we need to continue to explore and develop and affirm our faith. How do you explore it more? One of the things you do is to go back and create anew, perhaps, or refresh the inner life of devotion as well as the outer life of service. The inner life begins with studying the Word of God, not just reading what someone else has said about the Word, not just following along what others have said, because in many cases, that does not mean you're following Christ. That means you're following someone else who says they're following Christ. The priesthood of the believer means that God comes along and says, there is no one standing between you and me. Read the scriptures. Do not be conformed to the things of this world. And my Holy Spirit will assist you. So what do? You go back to the text. You go back to the scriptures. How do you read it? I suggest you go back to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read them straight through. You can almost read them as you would a John Grisham novel, because there are plots, subplots, strange characters. And wending its way through all of this is the majesty of the life of the Nazarene, who beckons us to not only to follow, but to learn, to apply the truths that he gives. And as we do that, those truths leap afresh from the page and remind us what it is that we believe, and help us not to be conformed to what we hear. Because all around us are the words that sometimes are dry. Politics, economics, staleness is everywhere. T.S. Eliot put it very well. He said, "We are the hollow men, we are the stuffed men, headpiece filled with straw. Our voices when we speak are as wind in dry grass." Now, that is not the Christian plea. It is the plea of those who have no anchor in faith. It is the sound of empty thoughts, empty minds, and empty voices. Jesus says, don't be that way. Do not let your life be described as stale and without meaning. Study, live with me, and let your spirit be refreshed. The Celtic Christians, mainly those Christians in the northern kingdom of England, were people who believed that God could best be worshipped and discovered in the boundless energy, the raw beauty of nature. They preferred to see God's presence in the angry waters of streams, violent storms, trees bending before the wind. They said that gives evidence of the presence of God. And so they would go out into these places and they would find a spot where they could somehow in that moment meditate, think, feel close to their Creator, and be so close that they could almost reach out and touch. They call those spots thin places. I suggest to you that there might be a thin place in your life where you might go and be alone with the one who has created you and redeemed you and loves you, and let your faith be renewed in a different way. Let that thin place remind you that you're never alone, that the God who has created and sustains is with you. It's like a permeable membrane just on the other side. You can almost make out the appearance of the Creator. And then there's an element of service. Grace is freely given, is it not? John 3:16 reminds us, whosoever will. Jesus came for all. What he has to give is freely ours and free to accept. But Paul also reminds us elsewhere that from whom much is given, much is required. We need to practice to live out what our discipleship is. I don't know what it is for you. For some, it can be something, some form of local ministry, clothes closet, food banks, meals on wheels. Others do missions work in other states. But I have a strong suspicion that for a lot of us, it is in the daily routine where we pay attention to how we live out our lives that service is best rendered. We are surrounded by hungry people, not just for food, for the nurturing touch of people who care, to be recognized, to be loved, to be affirmed, and you can do that. Paying attention to who we are and what we do makes a difference. And all of this suggests to us that what we say and what we do gives evidence to the God who created and the God who redeems and the God who calls us into service. Make no mistake, we are in the service of someone. Bob Dylan said it. Well, it may be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. Scripture reminds us we're in the service of the King. Let us live as we should. And remember, too, that we influence people by what we say, by what we do, by how we behave. Sometimes the influence can go awry. Earlier this year, a professional basketball player, Kyrie Irving, currently with the Cavaliers pending a trade, announced to the world in a press conference that he did not believe the earth to be round. The earth is flat. His reasoning, just look. He believed the earth to be flat, to be bounded on the edges by giant walls of ice. Some suggested he'd been watching too many episodes of Game of Thrones, and they snickered at it. Here's the point. A few weeks after that, science teachers at middle schools began to say their students no longer believed what they were teaching about the planetary life, but they believed the basketball player. They believed the earth is flat. The power of influence. What we say, what we do, makes a difference in someone's life. Dr. Rachel Remen, medical doctor, also a novelist, collector of stories, tells the story from the Sufi people that in one of the tribes was a very good man. His virtuous life was an example to all. And this good man so impressed the angels that they wanted to give him the gift of miracles. So they said, let's ask God. So they did. And God, being God, said, well, why don't you ask him if that's what he wants? So they did. They went to the man and said, we would like to give you the gift of miracles. The man said, no, I don't want that. Well, how about the gift of conversion, helping people to see the light of faith? No. They pitched a couple of other options, to which he replied, no. Well, what do you want? They asked. He replied, I would like to do a great deal of good without knowing about it. How'd you do that? Angels were perplexed. They took counsel with each other and came up with a plan. They said, we will invest his shadow with the power of miracles. So wherever this man walked, without his knowing it, the shadow that he cast on the earth was filled with the power of miracles. Not just for people, but for creation. Behind him, where the grass was stale, suddenly it was verdant and green. Where the water was poisoned, suddenly it was fresh. Where lives that were broken because of illness, they were healed. Where persons were burdened with troubles, suddenly those troubles were lifted. All without his knowing it, this man went about his daily life, and behind him was a shadow that was transforming others. The people kept their distance from him. They didn't want to get too close. They didn't understand what was going on. After a while, they even forgot his name. They simply referred to him as the Holy Shadow. Sisters and brothers, I suggest to you that each of us has a shadow. It's a shadow of influence. Wherever we go, we affect others by the shadow that we leave behind. What we say, what we do, how we act, we affect other people with this shadow of influence that we have. Do not diminish your power over the lives of other people. People are watching. And so we come to the point. Paul saying, always examine your faith, examine your life, that you're not being conformed to the tawdriness and the shallowness of this world. But make sure that what you're doing is building up your faith, built on the strong truths of God's word, built on the example lived out by Jesus, and live in such fashion that others may see more of him in you and less of yourselves. In a few minutes, we will leave this place. We will go our separate ways. And where we go, trailing behind us, will be a shadow of influence. What will yours say about you? Think about it.
The great gift. The great gift of God is Jesus the Christ. And this is our chance to respond to what we have heard, to respond to that great gift. There are multiple ways you can respond today. As normal, you are invited to respond by professing your faith in Jesus as Lord, or by wishing to join this community of faith. But today, on this Promotion Sunday, there is another opportunity to respond. For any students or teachers, be you children, middle school, high school, you name it. I know some of you might have your backpacks today. If you do, great, bring them forward. If not, that's also okay. The point is, you are all invited to come forward, students and teachers, and receive a blessing as we prepare to go into another school year. There will be ministers at the front to greet and receive you as we respond. So let us now stand as we sing together, hymn 597.
Offer a blessing to these students and teachers that are before us, as well as those who are still in our pews and those who are not with us this morning. Now rest in the assurance that you are a beloved child of God, called to learn and to teach God's goodness in all that you do. May the grace, wisdom, and mercy of God guide you in this journey of learning called life. Go from here knowing that you are blessed and you are a blessing, and may your shadow of influence shine God's light. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please turn and share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace of Christ be with you. And also with you. Just a couple of quick announcements as we close our service. Please do remember that today is the all teams meeting, all teams and committees meeting at 4 o'clock p.m. in the fellowship hall. Many of you, I'm sure, have been asked to serve on a team or a committee. So if you have, we remind you about that meeting and hope you can join us this afternoon in the fellowship hall. Also, please know that as we are heading back to school, and as the calendar is turning to September, that means we are taking a moment to sign up for some things. So in the hallway, you will have sign-ups for both dinners on Wednesday nights this fall and this school year, as well as our Heritage Sunday lunch coming up in a couple of weeks on September the 10th. So I hope you'll pay attention to that as you leave this morning. Well, it's always good to worship together. Let's close our service by singing together, "I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me." As you go from this place, go with the grace and peace of God. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.